Hello and welcome to the Creative Culture podcast interview series. Today we're delighted to be speaking to Philippa Amanta, Head of Research at the Center for Indonesian Policy Studies. Philippa will be sharing her knowledge on food trade and sustainability in Indonesia and how the latest government regulations impact it. She's also taking part in our virtual roundtable on Indonesia on the 3rd of December 2020. So please find out more about this on our website, creativecultureint.com/insights. So, Philippa, perhaps you can tell us a little bit about yourself, your career, and what your current role as Head of Research at the Center for Indonesian Policy Studies entails.
Thank you so much, Paul, and it's so good to be here. So my background is in sociology and public administration. So I am quite interested in policy issues that affect Indonesian society, particularly for the poor. So right now I work, as you said, Head of Research at Center for Indonesian Policy Studies, also known as CIPS, which is an independent nonprofit think tank based in Jakarta, working on research and advocacy on Indonesian policies. We focus on three areas: food and agriculture, education, and also community livelihood. I happen to work on the food security and agriculture portfolio, but as head of research, I coordinate across all research topics to make sure that we produce quality analysis and recommendations that can be used for governments, private sectors, and also civil society. So we produce policy papers, policy briefs, and also communicate them through webinars, events, media engagements, etc.
Okay, that's very good. Great, thank you very much. So moving on then, could you give us an overview of Indonesia in terms of food, trade and agriculture? Are there any specific trends you've noticed recently, especially about food consumption?
Sure, Paul. So I'd like to start with giving an outlook on the agriculture, which is a huge sector in Indonesia, and it contributes about 15% to the Indonesian GDP. We have quite a significant export, especially palm oil, but also other agricultural commodities like chocolate and coffee. On the other end, food and beverage industry is also growing significantly, contributing about 6% to the GDP. This is before the pandemic. So between 2015 and the first quarter of 2020, investments to food and beverage industry totaled at about $21.4 billion, which accounts for 21% of the total investment in manufacturing sector. So quite an important sector in Indonesia. And in the last 5 years, the average annual growth of F&B investment is at 3%. And that number is expected to increase in the coming years. But with COVID-19, of course, we're seeing some disruptions, although the F&B industry still shows resilient growth. But restaurants and a lot of cafes definitely took a hard hit because of the mobility restrictions. So they have to adapt through e-commerce, which I'll talk a little bit more later. And actually, a good segue to talking about the trends now. Before I talk about the trends, we have to understand that Indonesia is a huge and diverse country with hundreds of ethnic groups across the thousands of islands. So people living in urban Jakarta will be very different from people living in rural Maluku, for example. So it's kind of hard to generalize, but I'll just highlight three broad trends that we're seeing in Indonesia. The first one is we're seeing a shift in consumption towards processed food. So between 2017 and 2019, consumption of processed or ultra-processed food, sort of like those preserved or store-bought packaged food, increased by 9.63%. And both accounts for 21% of total consumption in Indonesia. And it is expected to increase as consumers prefer time-saving convenience. And then the second trend I wanted to highlight is that in rural areas, usually consumers are more concerned about price more than brand or any other factors because they tend to be of lower income. So they will look for food or items that are most affordable to them. However, in urban areas, we see that brand and reputation actually matters more. Consumers are willing to pay more for things they care about, like locally sourced food or healthy eating, or importantly, on sustainability. So even though price is, of course, still a consideration for people living in urban clusters, other factors also is a significant consideration for them, like taste, quality, trust, and availability and sustainability. So a lot of them now prefer healthier options or more green options, etc. And then the last trend that I wanted to talk about is the growth of food and beverage industry in e-commerce. Especially in urban areas, growth of food delivery services and food sales have been substantial. According to a survey, about 41% of respondents living in the 6 most populated urban areas have ordered food delivery at some point. And the number is expected to increase by 11% annually from 2020 to 2024. Food and beverage category is actually right now the largest category of items being sold in e-commerce, making up about 27.8% of all e-commerce transactions. So we're really seeing a trend of e-commerce playing in the F&B industry.
Okay, thank you. A little bit earlier about sustainability, and I'd like to just ask you a little bit about that regarding Indonesia, and especially as Indonesia is one of the world's largest palm oil producers. Is this issue around sustainability something that Indonesian consumers feel concerned about?
Certainly, Paul. We're seeing that there's a growing movement starting from local campaigns, from local communities to reduce plastic waste, for example, or to move away from environmentally damaging items. And that even got picked up by a lot of local governments. So we're also seeing now local regulations that ban single-use plastic bags, for example. And we're also seeing that as a response to this, companies are starting to green initiatives like not providing single-use cutlery, for example. I mentioned there's a growing number of food delivery services. And according to one food delivery app, many of their merchants and many of the consumers are opting towards more green options. So in recent times, about 17 times as many merchants have chosen to provide green options, which is not providing a single-use cutlery in their order. And then also 97% of the consumers chose not to use single-use cutlery and plastics when they can have that option. We're also seeing palm oil companies, for example, that you mentioned, they're writing annual sustainability reports, so reporting back on their efforts to maintain sustainability or to reduce environmental damages, not because it's mandated, but because they know that the market is watching and is expecting them to. So it is a huge concern for consumers.
Yeah. And of course, has COVID-19 impacted food, trade and sustainability in any way? Are there perhaps new trends that have started since the beginning of the pandemic and affected consumers in Indonesia? And do you think those are likely to be a permanent feature?
COVID-19 definitely did disrupt the food trade and the food and beverage industry massively. For example, first of all, just the distribution and logistics problem, and not just Indonesia, but across the globe. So mobility restrictions and the reduced capacity for distribution definitely disrupted the supply chain for a lot of food and beverage companies. There's reduced export demands, also delayed imports to get the supply you need. So it definitely did brought up a large disruption. But then also there's a new trend, as I mentioned, because of those mobility restrictions, a lot of restaurants or cafes have to adopt. And we're seeing some trends related to that. As I mentioned, there's a huge growth of e-commerce. But on the consumer side, now consumers are more concerned about food safety. And that is very likely to stay well beyond the pandemic. So during the pandemic, a study showed that 70% of consumers say they are more concerned with food safety. And then because of that, there's a lot of consumers opting to now use plastic bags again, which can bring also a trade-off with sustainability, because with the increase in food delivery comes the concern of the increased use of plastics, for example, as food packaging as well. And that is also a worrying trend that we might be seeing after the pandemic as well.
And I guess there's been a lack of tourism. And has that been good for sustainability in the country? Because I know that some Southeast Asian countries have closed their beaches to tourism to preserve them.
Yeah, we saw that in other Asian countries, but unfortunately not quite the big trend here in Indonesia. The large-scale social restrictions or the mobility restrictions have been relaxed. So now tourism is actually bouncing back quite quickly. People are eager to get out. So we see beaches in Bali getting quite crowded again as well, because people are now able to travel again and a lot of the Indonesians are itching to get out. So we did see a drop in tourism, a significant drop, but now it's starting to rebound again.
Okay, great. Are there any brands in the sort of food sustainability area, local or global, that are doing particularly well, for example? And if there are, can you pinpoint any reasons and what global brands could learn from that for Indonesia?
There are definitely examples of really good best practices. I'll take two examples. The first one on the farm level, there's many companies are working together with local communities to encourage sustainable practices. So a lot of the global food and agriculture companies partners with local farmers to provide trainings on sustainable agriculture practices, as well as providing access to capital. And so this leads to increased yields and also increased produce quality, while also reducing the environmental impacts that are usually associated with the agriculture sector. So we're seeing innovations in sustainable agriculture practices. On the consumer side, we're also seeing that companies are adapting to sustainability trends by innovating in their products, creating environmentally friendly products. For example, a beverage company just introduced 100% recycled bottles, which is very well received in consumers. And I also mentioned the food delivery apps that are providing green options with reduced single-use bike sticks. Are some restaurants innovating with recycled food packaging made of natural materials and are recyclable materials? So the lesson learned that we observe is that it's the nature of companies to actually adapt to trends to stay competitive. And there's actually an opportunity and a very strong business argument for them to address and provide solutions to the real needs of Indonesians, in particular on sustainability issues.
Yeah, and I guess that means, as you say, sort of global brands working with Indonesians, which might, in one of the cases you say, benefit locals like farmers and plantations and things. So, yeah. Looking at local brands then, are there any cultural learnings to take there for global brands looking to establish in Indonesia? And maybe you could share a couple of do's and don'ts when entering the Indonesian marketplace.
That's a really interesting question. And I'd like to reiterate that Indonesia is a huge market. We have the fourth largest population in the world. And of course, companies are naturally interested in coming into the country. But about the cultural considerations, because we have thousands of islands and hundreds of ethnic groups with different cultures, the consumer behavior really depends on where they live, whether it's in rural or urban region, whether they're in a particular income level, educational level, even religion, tradition, lifestyle, and so many different variables. And that is something that the global brands must be aware of. For in general, do's and don'ts, perhaps I can offer a few. First of all, don't generalize Indonesia. Do take the time to know which type of consumers you want to engage with, whether you want to set up shop in an urban area or a rural area would make such a huge difference. So do take your time to do market research on the segmentation of your consumers. And then don't just come in as this global brand tapping into the market. As we talk about lessons learned previously, do take the time to engage with local communities, maybe through partnerships or through corporate social responsibility programs that are meaningful to local communities. So in that way, global brands can sort of introduce your values to the community, establish the brand as a brand that really cares about Indonesia and also are committing to engage with Indonesia. And last but not least, also don't assume that doing business in Indonesia is the same way of doing business abroad, because we have a complex system. So do take the time to understand the complex regulatory landscape as well, because it's layered in central as well as local governments down to even the village level if you want. So before coming in, do try to understand first sort of the regulatory context in which you will be operating.
Those are very useful points. Thanks very much. And maybe we sort of end on a message of hope, perhaps. What does the future look like when it comes to sustainability in Indonesia?
It's a very positive future, I should say so. I think sustainability is now one of the top concerns for many consumers in Indonesia who are really driving this effort forward. And we're seeing that companies and governments are being very responsive to the need. So in the future, we can expect that communities and citizens, together with private sectors and the government, will step up to take on the environmental challenge towards a sustainable future.
Thank you very much for your time today, Philippa. It was very insightful, and we look forward to hearing more insights during our roundtable on Indonesia on the 3rd of December. And once again, for anyone interested, visit our website, creativecultureint.com/insights/roundtables to learn more and to register. And for everyone else, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and you can find more podcast episodes by visiting our SoundCloud or our website, creativecultureint.com, under our insights section. Make culture work for you.